Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Two views of the violence and instability in Syria now, inside and out. What the increasing pace of political defections means about the regime. Is it on the verge of crumbling? Or is it consolidating around its most loyal and best-armed leaders for a final stand? Both could be true, of course. We'll try to peer inside the political elites of Syria in just a few moments. But first, a view from the streets. The BBC's Paul Wood has this dispatch from the rebel-held zone near the Syrian capital, Damascus.
We're in President Assad's backyard. His palace in Damascus is little more than 3 miles away. Yet here you find rebel fighters, not government troops. A cheeky song addressed to the president's mother. You gave birth to a donkey, they chant. Such words would once have been a death sentence. They're a small taste of the freedom they're fighting for. Ali, who's 18, was sent by his parents to Jordan for safety. They think he's studying computer science. This morning, Ali called his family to tell them he's back. His father didn't take it well when he said he was here to help overthrow President Assad.
I'm ready to die for that goal.
Did you tell your parents that?
About I'm ready to die? I wouldn't tell them because our generation is more brave than my father's generation in fighting the regime.
Dozens of refugee families sit and try to pass the time of day in a school building outside the capital. For so long, people fled to Damascus for safety. Now they are running from it. The opposition says 2 million people have been displaced in this conflict. We were hysterical with fear, says Mohammed, a mother of five. There was shelling and snipers and Shabiha, government militia, roaming everywhere. The refugees fled fighting, which saw the use by the government side of artillery, tanks, and even jet fighters. But in the past, each time the regime has used greater violence, crossing new lines, it has only succeeded in strengthening the uprising. It's brought new recruits to the Free Army, or perhaps even a prime minister over to the revolution.
The BBC's Paul Wood. Joining us now from outside Damascus is Austin Tice, a freelance journalist and a former U.S. Marine. Austin, from where you sit, is there a sense that these are the last days, that there's some sort of timeline for it being over for President Assad?
There is that sense. Many people indicate to me that they think that another large assault is coming on Damascus before Ramadan is over. I'll tell you, that sense is not really driven by these high-level defections that frankly make a bigger wave outside of the country than for many of the fighters inside. It's more driven by their own assessment of their tactical capabilities and of their logistical capabilities at this time.
How vulnerable do people feel in the suburbs of Damascus, inside Damascus, and in the villages around the capital?
It's a really tense situation. For instance, where I am, just outside the capital, during the day and during most of the week, these areas are pretty well controlled by the Free Syrian Army. You see no sign at all of government forces. In fact, they've cut government services to the suburbs, so that the people do things like take out, you know, clean up their own streets and clean up their own trash. That being said, you know, when the government chooses to, it certainly has the capability to sort of penetrate trade in force, if you will. For instance, on Fridays during when they go to the mosque to pray, oftentimes government agents will stand outside of the mosque and sort of take down notes and check people's IDs. About a week ago at this point, just a couple towns over from here, there was a pretty brutal massacre. So the FSA's strategy in these suburbs, basically when the regime shows up enforced, they tend to flee rather than trying to stand and fight, because they're trying to maintain these suburbs as a reasonably safe zone for them. And from their view, it's better to avoid a pitched battle in the suburbs and save their strength until they're ready to attack in Damascus.
We're talking to reporter Austin Tice from the rooftops outside of Damascus. He's a reporter in Syria, a former U.S. Marine. And as a former Marine, Austin, I'm wondering if you could comment on the reports, the New York Times, other media reports, that there's a fairly large al-Qaeda contingent among the Syrian rebels that's working very, very hard to bring the regime down. Any evidence of that from where you sit?
I've certainly met a few foreign elements. I met a good chunk of Libyans coming down here from Idlib, making my way down here. There certainly are foreign fighters inside of the country, and I think also more out in the eastern portion of the country. There's also been reports of this al-Qaeda linked group called the Al-Nusra Front, which may be active here in the Damascus area. Are they a large contingent? I mean, the answer to that is clearly no. Okay, like there are some people with this sort of strict Wahhabi ideology. There are some al-Qaeda linked elements, but I have to tell you, they're an infinitesimally small portion of the larger rebel force. And the rebels themselves tend to be very, very disparaging of these al-Qaeda elements. They tend to tolerate them, and in moments of honesty, they'll admit that they exist. But as a general rule, they're very, very dismissive of them, both as a fighting force and as an ideology.
The Wahhabi sect that Austin Tice refers to there, of course, is the Islamist group that is affiliated inside of Saudi Arabia and that often accompanies these foreign fighters into places like Syria. Austin, before we go, a final question. A lot of individuals we speak with, both inside and outside Syria, who claim to be adherents to Bashar al-Assad, supporters of the regime, claim there's some sort of silent majority in Syria that supports the regime and is hoping for a return to stability. Any evidence of that?
Well, I think everyone is hoping for a return to stability. I think you'd be hard-pressed to say that silence indicates much in terms of support for either side. From what I've seen, you know, I've seen a fair amount of street fighting throughout the country. And just what I've seen with my own eyes, when the rebels fight, the civilians come out in the streets and leave them, you know, platters of food and pitchers of water to support them when they're fighting. I'm sure there are still plenty of Assad supporters in the country, but they're, from what I've seen, they're a decided minority.
From the rooftops of a small suburb outside of Damascus, the capital of Syria, Austin Tice there, freelance reporter in Syria and a former U.S. Marine. Thanks so much, Austin.
It's been a pleasure. Take care.